Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. And sorry, I haven't been around the last couple days. Had a few things kind of pop up outside of in the real world, as we jokingly call it when we're talking about podcast, and just haven't been around and didn't realize at first that I was missing some podcasts until I looked. And I do thank you for your understanding. But before we get into today's thing, let us pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the whole world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded. Your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of God the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. So today we're going to pick up where we've kind of missed. We've missed the last couple days, as I've said before, because of things outside of podcast land that drew my attention away, partly with my 9-to-5 and other things that were going on that don't really need to be mentioned. Any special prayers would be recommended that you offer, but nothing in particular that needs to be said at this time. But where we are in this is 293, where we're talking about creation. And just as a quick review, we just talked about creation being the work of the Holy Trinity and how each member of the Trinity has a unique role that they bring out in creation. But all the creation is the result of God himself. And since they're all one, every member of the Trinity is a member that has done something with creation. And today we get to what would constitute the overall purpose of creation, as the section of this part of the section of the Catechism dealing with creation, section 3 of creation, it tells you that the world was created for the glory of God, and that tells you everything you need to know about creation. The real purpose is the glory of God. Now, we always look at it from our perspective and say, well, why do bad things happen to us? Aren't we supposed to be whatever and all this? And the reality is, the answer to that question is no. Creation's not created for you. If you lived an absolutely miserable life, it wouldn't change the fact that creation is what creation is. It is something to glorify God. If your life was completely ruined and you were mistreated and abused, in the biggest reality of what it is, you are not the focus of everything in the world. I know for a lot of people that's a big problem because they're egocentric. They live for themselves and everything's about them. But the real reality is everything in creation, you, me, everything that we touch, our houses, our homes, our money, everything, is supposed to be something that glorifies God. And that there is the biggest point going forward. It's like going to church on Sunday. The purpose of going to church on Sunday is not to get some kind of blessing or some good sermon being preached and all that jazz. The purpose of Sunday service is simply one thing and one thing alone. That you worship God, that you bring glory to God. And that's where it really gets into. And this is what the Catechism tries to drum home for us in section 293, where it states very clearly, Scripture and tradition never cease to teach and celebrate this fundamental truth. The world was made for the glory of God. There it is, right there, black and white. The glory of God. There's more that can be said, but I just want you to focus just on this one simple statement. The world was made for the glory of God. Now, this is found in the Declaration De Filius, which is talking about the nature of, from the Vatican Council, the nature of the universe, in a sense, at this point, because it's talking about how the world is created for the glory of God. And Saint Bonaventure, as Bonaventure says, as is quoted in 293 of the Catechism, he explains that God created all things not to increase his glory, but to show forth and to communicate it. So let's stop there for a second. Everything that happens in the universe, whether it's a tragedy to you or me, or whether it's something that makes you or I really happy, is something that shows forth the glory of God. Think about it in a sense of your own, we'll use a baseball team. My personal team is the Cardinals. This year they're kind of so-so. Don't think they're going to the World Series, but if they go to the World Series, yep, we're winning it. Just saying it right now, throwing it out there. I know a lot of you guys are like, who's this guy? It happens. We all stick with our teams. But just using that as an example, when the team wins, it manifests the glory of God in one way. When the team loses, it manifests the glory of God in another way. And that's really what the importance of everything is realizing the glory of God in each situation. This is why when Joseph was sold into slavery, ended up in Potiphar's house, then the prison and all that jazz, he realized that there was a greater glory going on, the glory of God. And he was able to tell his brothers when they were crying to him in Genesis chapter 50 that he didn't have to seek vengeance because what they meant for evil, God turned around and made for good. It's because everything ends up bringing glory to God. Think of the most one-sided violence that could ever be described against an innocent person that's ever happened in creation. Namely, that which happened to Jesus when he suffered and died for your sins on a cross. Him dying on a cross was not good. But because he died on a cross, it became something greater that showed the glory of God. So in every one of our weaknesses, in every one of our difficulties, there is a potential in each one of them for the glory of God to be seen. And that's really what draws out in this section. As St. Bonaventure said, it does not increase his glory, but it shows forth and communicates it. For God has no other reason than creating than his love and goodness. This here's really going back to that very first thing that we learned in the Catechism, section 1, that out of his sheer goodness, out of the way that he loves, out of the way that he is, he created all of us in order that we could participate in his divine life. And in fact, this is what he continues to say when he declares that the creatures came into existence when the key of love opened his hand. I mean, that's a very beautiful statement. And this is from St. Thomas Aquinas. He kind of points out that the creatures all came into existence when the key of love opened his hand. When did the key of love open his hand? At the moment creation began, in the beginning. So we see the whole purpose of creation is not to be focused on itself or to glorify something about it, but to glorify the Creator who made it. And that's where it all begins. As the First Vatican Council explained in one of its documents, as far as things go, this one true God, of his own goodness and almighty power, not for increasing his own beatitude, that is, not increasing his own glory or making it greater, nor for the attaining of his own perfection, because he didn't have to be perfected. He's already perfected. He's already He's already complete. He doesn't add the universe as something that makes him better. That's something that comes out of paganism, where it believes that. But it's not that it makes him better. It attains a perfection. But in order to manifest this perfection through the benefits which he bestows on his creatures. So when he saves you and I, he reveals his mercy to us. It's not that he becomes merciful. He's always merciful. But in order to show mercy, there has to be a reason for mercy to exist. So hopefully you get the balance there. And you get what's being said. He bestows it on his creatures with absolute freedom of counsel. He's not obligated. He does it out of love. And from the beginning of time, made out of nothing, both the order of creatures, the spiritual and the corporal. Basically, he made all the angels. He made all the angelic beings. He made all the spiritual powers of the universe. And he made every living creature that you see inhabiting the universe. All the material creatures, whether they be as small as the one-celled amoeba or as complicated as you, me, or a giraffe, or an elephant, all of them are created. And all of them have this one single purpose, to show forth his majesty and his love and his mercy, and everything about him in some attribute is revealed by it. That you're a baseball fan and you are fortunate enough to be a Cardinal fan. You have one of the best teams in baseball, so that's God's, loving you. And if you live in Chicago and you, for some unfortunate reason, love the Cubs, oh, God pray for you. I'm just joking, teasing, relax. It shows something else about God's ability and care for you. And this is the point here of creation. Creation, the entire universe, everything about it, is created for the glory of God. 294 continues, the glory of God consists in the realization of this manifestation and communication of his goodness for which the world was created. The glory of God consists of the realization of this. And this is where a lot of people get into trouble when they're trying to redefine evolution, creation in a way that rejects God. And this is one of the biggest problems, I would say, of modern society, is this rejection. The other part to it is a redefinition of what humanity is, what makes an individual male or female, which is common nowadays. It's rejecting, not realizing, the full manifestation of God's goodness in that particular purpose. God made us to be sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, this is a quote from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. It's not a full quote, but it does give the sense that he's called us to be created in Jesus Christ. Our purpose is to be children of God. We are to be the light of the world, just as Jesus is the light of the world. Because as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. No one puts a light under a bushel. No one hides a city that's on a mountain, because it's right there. It's supposed to be seen. Men are supposed to see your good works and glorify God in heaven. So when they see you, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, doing the things that you're supposed to be doing as a Christian, they glorify God. If you don't do that, and this is something of a personal life experience this recently, if you get mad, you get irate, no matter how much you're probably in the right, and we've all had those moments, we've wanted to tell somebody that they've got the wrong charge that they just rung up on the register at Walmart or wherever it is, and you need to fix it. Or it's some other thing. You act stupid, and you get all angry. And I've done the angry thing a few times. Not beautiful. But it does show forth that you're not inviting the glory of God. They can't see the good works in you and glorify God by them. when you do that, people avoid you. I mean, just think of how people react when people get ugly nowadays. They draw back, they go away, they don't want to be around them. I mean, that's really where it's all about. So to be the sons of God the Father through Jesus Christ, being born again, as the 294 continues, for the glory of God is man fully alive, and moreover, man's life is the vision of God. This is where the whole idea of eternal beatitude comes in, where we're supposed to be in fellowship with God and really commune with Him and know Him and love Him and experience Him in every way possible. And this is continues. If God's revelation through creation has already obtained life for all beings that dwell on earth, how much more will the Word's manifestation of the Father obtain life for those who see God? And that's talking about you and me. How is it that if we have life naturally in the universe, that we are born of a woman and walk upright for close to 100 years, we have life? How much more is the life that God provides to us in the Blessed Sacrament and in the Gospel? The eternal life where we have fellowship with Him for all creation or all eternity is a blessing for all creation. How much more will this manifestation obtain life? See, the scripture talks about how death came through one man, but life came through Jesus Christ. How much more is that life for you and I? The ultimate purpose of creation is that God, who is the creator of all things, may at last become all in all, and simultaneously assuring His own glory and our beatitude, our blessedness, our being blessed by knowing Him. I mean, this is really the whole point of creation. I don't want to belabor this point too much. I just want you to grasp this. The whole focus of everything around us is that God be given the glory. And that even talks about the way that you live your life. I've said this before in the last couple minutes, that we are to be the light of the world so that people can see our good works. Well, we have to do the good works for them to see it, to really praise. Think about why people leave churches. It's because people did not show the glory of God. People did not reveal God's mercy. You go to a church, you don't feel welcome there, you leave, and you talk about how you never want anybody else to go there. Some of the ugliness that's ever happened in the world has been by those who are supposed to be representing God, but instead represent themselves in their own selfishness. And as a result, people refuse to believe in God and walk away. And this is a danger that we need to be aware of. So I want to leave you with this thought. All creation is created with one purpose, to bring about and manifest God's glory. And that includes you, and that includes me. And since all creation can bring in life naturally through the process of giving birth, as in the sense of your parents were around so that you could be given life, the point beyond is, how much more is the life that we will receive as a result of the eternal beatitude, the relationship that we have with God in Christ Jesus by being united to Him as a branch on the vine? It is a much greater life, a much greater beatitude. And it's something that is so great that if we really grasp it and we really live this gospel beatitude so that God can be glorified through us, we will be blessed by being His channel to the world.